So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Trending. Oh boy, do we have topics ahead of us today. Lots of controversy on social media surrounding, of all things, shoveling. That's right, shoveling. Wow, a lot could be said about shoveling. You know, I recently this year moved to the Midwest. I did grow up in a small mountain community. And that small mountain community, you know, we grew up with snow, and not only did you have snow, but you had scary road conditions with mountain road conditions, driving off the mountain potentially. I'm dropping things as I speak. And, you know, this is a fascinating topic because I remember growing up, my dad always did the shoveling in our house. And I remember on rare occasion, he thought that we were going to help a little bit. More so was when we took interest. He's like, sure, come and help. I would love the help. But, you know, it usually ended up being, that looks fun. And then after taking a couple scoops as a kid or maybe a teenager, you realize it's a lot of hard work and it's really not fun. And thank you, Dad, but I'll pass. I'll play and hang out here in the area. You know, it's so funny because I keep thinking of snow shoveling. So then about a month and a half ago, we got our first snowfall that required a very minimal amount of shoveling. My husband was so excited to be back in the snow. He grew up with snow, was looking forward to doing some shoveling. And then I kind of sat there twiddling my thumbs thinking, oh boy, this is one of those conversations I've never really had. Am I expected to help with the shoveling? And I did have that attitude. Am I really expected to help with shoveling? Am I not? So I thought, okay, I'm going to have this conversation with my husband. Well, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But you're joining us during our weekly Gentleman's Hour here on Trending. Thank you so much for joining us. And I hope that you'll call in or comment on social media, specifically Instagram Live. Right now, you can share your comment or question live. I'd love to share it during the show. And here's the reality. We are taking your questions, any question goes, and we would like to take your questions, especially those questions, gentlemen, that maybe you would like to ask your mom or your sister or another female in your life, but you haven't quite gotten around to it. Maybe you don't feel comfortable asking your mom or your sister. Well, go ahead and give us a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Or again, you can comment now on my Instagram Live sharing that question. Follow me at Timmerie. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. I've actually really enjoyed the questions that have been coming in. So I'd love to dive in just a little bit. We have everything from relationships to what women are looking for to how can I help my spouse more who's working or take interest in what she's doing. A lot of really fascinating questions that men have, even questions having to do with personality types and having different personality types within marriage or a dating context. So send me your question. Number's 1-888-914-9149. Or again, comment live on my Instagram at Timmerie. Okay, a Canadian minister of jobs actually tweeted this. And this has gone viral since this past weekend. It was a tweet and I just reposted it on my Twitter if you want to go check it out. It was a tweet by Cabinet Minister from Canada, John Reyes of Manitoba. And he showed a tweet where there was this photo of his wife shoveling the driveway. Okay, now, he took the photo of his wife shoveling the driveway. And he says, even after a 12-hour night shift at the hospital last night, my wife still has the energy to shovel the driveway. God bless her and all our frontliners. Time to make her some breakfast. Okay. You can share your thoughts, especially the men. It's Gentleman's Hour. I would love to hear your reaction to this. The men's reaction today. This is what I'm looking for because this man, okay, how many responses has it since then garnered? Okay, 6,060 retweets, over almost 22,000 tweets where people retweeted and commented, and about 46,000 likes. And there his wife is going to town shoveling the driveway. And it looks like there is quite a bit of snow. Now, you should also know that John Reyes had taken to Twitter earlier that morning as well. In fact, he was has been called out for watching a tennis match earlier in the morning and tweeting about it, and then later taking a photo of his wife shoveling the driveway after working for 12 hours. Comedy, in all seriousness, people are outraged. Now, sure, we don't know the full context, although both spouses have actually since then taken back to Twitter, as well as releasing statements to Fox News and other places about the context of what was going on here. According to his wife, she just really wanted to shovel. She got home. She even posted a tweet actually saying just that. Let's see. What did she say? It's kind of funny when you look at it. She put a hand in her face. She said, all I wanted to do was shovel. And then she retweeted her husband's tweet. Did he ask her to retweet that? Did they feel like they needed to save face given the context? Because John Reyes, Cabinet Minister John Reyes, was receiving a lot of flack for this. And thousands upon thousands of people criticizing him. Why didn't you wake up and shovel before your wife got home? Why were you watching a tennis match? That's great that you're making her breakfast. However, maybe you should have gone and shoveled. You know, and a lot of people have even commented about how, well, maybe she wanted to. Maybe she really did. She claims that she got home and saw all the snow out that fell overnight, and she had the energy and she just wanted to shovel. She was going to shovel and take care of it all. I don't think that you and I will necessarily know for sure if the statements they've released are legit, if there was frustration there. I don't know, but I think the visceral reaction to this whole thing is fascinating. Some people have even said, well, okay, great, you made her breakfast, but why don't you quickly call her inside and say, hey, honey, I'll finish. Some people said, well, if I saw my wife outside shoveling and I went inside cozy and slept all night, perhaps I would walk out and say, honey, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. A lot could be said. I'll bring this back to my conversation I had with my husband about a month and a half ago, because here we are now living in the Midwest, not our sunny San Diego anymore. And lo and behold, I think it snowed almost every single day for about 3 weeks. And it's at least snowed every other day since 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. We're talking about almost 2 months now. That's a lot of snow. Luckily, it usually, you know, falls and melts, but a couple weeks into that, it started sticking a little bit more. Next thing you knew, we had 2, 4, and 6 inches. And it was time to actually shovel. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh no, I hope that my husband doesn't expect me to help shovel. You can think what you want of me. I had zero intention or desire to shovel. What woman really does? I don't know, maybe this man's wife did. And so I sat down at dinner that night. I said, listen, I have to have a conversation with you, and I feel kind of awkward about it, but I need to know what your expectations are of me. I have no intention of shoveling, and I'm not sure if that is appropriate that I just make that assumption. I'm not sure, you know, if you're going to need help. I know we're expecting a lot of shoveling. And he started laughing so hard. He's like, oh, you worried me when you said you had an awkward conversation to bring up. He said, no, I'll do all the shoveling. Don't worry about it at all. I love shoveling. It's not a big deal. I said, okay, well, if there's ever a time where, you know, I need to get out there and do a little shoveling, just let me know. But I really found it funny that a lot of people comment in one direction or the other, sticking to the stereotypes that, yes, we could call gender stereotypes, or maybe saying, hey, it's kind of odd that we have certain types of stereotypes. In fact, 77 Lindsay is commenting now on Instagram, said it's odd that our country wants to erase gender stereotypes, but people are upset if the husband lets his wife do a traditionally male job. I think that's a great point. If people want to say, hey, I can do anything, you can do better when it comes to women, but if a man shows a woman taking initiative in doing that job, he's suddenly referred to as chauvinistic. It is a fascinating thought. I think that it has a lot of insight. Let's see, Adam Dara on Instagram just said, when my wife has it in her mind to do something, far be it from me to stop her. I'll pick up some of her tasks in turn. He said, it's a give and take. So there are some other perspectives, you know, to look at. And for all I know, maybe his wife really did just want to shovel. Maybe she needed to blow off some steam, unwind before getting into the house. Perhaps that's the case. A lot of the comments, however, have truly criticized him and focused on why didn't he do the shoveling? Why didn't he take over? Why wasn't it shoveled before she got home? Well, a lot could be argued, especially for people who don't live in the snow. Looks like she drove through the snow just fine. It might not have needed to be shoveled right away. Fresh snow is usually pretty easy to drive through, rather than ice or melted snow or snow that's been sitting there a while. So I am curious, especially it's gentleman's hour here on Trending, what do you think? Do you think that man should take the initiative when it comes to shoveling and do the shoveling? I'm raising my hand. I definitely do. I decided like a month ago that I wanted to help my husband shovel. I think I took about 10 scoops. I was done. I was more than content. I would quit exercising if I took up shoveling. I will tell you that for sure. For some reason, though, when I was a kid, I used to love to dig holes in the backyard, even our neighbor's backyard, because he had a little pond, so we kind of go near his pond and dig these like really deep holes to try and find water. A lot of fun. But I was a kid. I didn't know what I was thinking back then. Now, I would totally pass when it came to shoveling. Okay, 77 Lindsay commented on Instagram Live just now. She said, yes, you be the man, I'll be the woman. She put heart, smiley faces. Okay, lots of reactions when it comes to man shoveling, woman helping out with shoveling. Yeah, unless I'm asked for help, I will not be shoveling. Full disclosure. Someone could call me sexist. Someone could say I believe in gender stereotypes. That's fine by me. That really is. But I do have to compliment my husband because, you know, when we talk about gender stereotypes, people talk about, well, does the wife only do the cleaning and the wife only do the cooking? My husband's awesome. We tag team cooking. He does not like doing laundry, but if I need help, he will help do laundry, especially if I'm getting behind. And, you know, even cleaning, although I do predominantly most of the cleaning, also because I work from home, you know, he will help if I ask him and give him something very specific to help with cleaning. He also helps with like tidying up and continuing to keep if the floor is dirty, you know, vacuuming and spot checking. All of that's really important. He is a whiz at cleaning the kitchen at night in general. Lucas, you're so right. We could solve this whole problem. Just be a real Midwesterner and get a snow blower. That is a choice. That is a choice lifestyle. But then there's another question. Is it the man's job or the woman's job to do the snow blowing? Because in my mind, although it looks like it would kind of be fun to run the snow blower for a little while, it was probably a lot of fun, actually. I still kind of think that's a man's job. So, funny story. And by the way, I'd love to hear from you. The number's 1-888-914-9149. It's Gentleman's Hour, and today's the hour where anything goes. You can ask me anything. Especially those questions, perhaps, that you don't quite feel comfortable asking your mom or your sister. Or maybe you have a question about relationships. I'm here. I'll do my best. I'd love to join you and bring a Catholic perspective. Let's see. Matt is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, and he has a take on this whole shoveling crisis. And if you're just joining us, just to recap, a Canadian Minister of Jobs posted a tweet this weekend that went viral with many criticisms, where John Reyes of Manitoba ended up showing his wife shoveling, commenting that after a 12-hour shift at the hospital, she now is shoveling, and took a photo of her. Questions, why didn't he shovel? Why didn't he go and take the shovel? Why did he tweet this? Why was he watching a tennis match that morning and then not taking care of this? So, I digress. Matt from Madison, Wisconsin has a take. Matt, what do you think about this?
I think it's just situational for each family. They don't know whether she might be an adrenaline junkie, and I have nurses in my family, and they're all adrenaline junkies. And a lot of times when you get done with a long day of work, especially one that might be very stressful, what do most people do? They want to go to the gym. So, you know, she gets home, and she's just like, I need some work. I need some de-stressing exercise. It might have just been natural. I'm going to shovel the driveway because this is how I'm going to de-stress. And, you know, I have 8 daughters and 4 sons. And my oldest daughter will get up in the morning and she'll be out there shoveling. Even while it's still snowing, I'm just like, what are you doing? She says, like, I want my exercise. This is driving me nuts. Like, okay, fine.
Okay, you know, but that's also, is she maybe trying to get out of the house as well with all the snow?
It could be, but I mean, even the duties inside the house, like I do laundry because I enjoy doing certain kinds of laundry. Like, right. I like doing towels, yeah. and I like doing whites. I don't like yeah. doing stuff that could potentially be damaged, you know? So right. things that, like, I've got certain daughters, like, don't wash any of my things because you don't
yes,
do it right.
That would be me.
So,
be me.
But I do like washing clothes, and my wife could care less. She goes, you want to wash clothes? Fine with me.
Yeah,
I'm not real good at cooking, and she is. So
see, yeah, and there are the preferences people have. My husband loves washing dishes. If I have the time, it is very therapeutic. I love washing dishes. I do enjoy doing the laundry. However, when I'm rushed for time, it's not always the easiest. A lot of men really like ironing. Before we got married, my husband spent a lot of time ironing. I think this is a bachelor thing because my producer, Patrick, loves ironing as well. It's so funny. I think it is another one of those therapeutic things. So, Matt, thanks for calling because even the example of your daughter who's 21, your oldest, loves to go out and shovel to get some exercise in the morning. I would actually totally go out and shovel for the sake of being able to get outside. And yes, I can help at the same time get some fresh air because let's be real, if you go outside in this freezing weather, I think we had a high of 12 degrees yesterday. I'm still cold. You have to defrost me from walking inside. You know, it's a lot that could be said, but Matt also commented, I don't know if he shared this live, he said his wife doesn't want to shovel as well. So this kind of brings us into a lot of the conversation today during our gentleman's hour. Again, any question goes. A lot of the questions had to do with male-female preferences. You know, a lot of what we could argue are various gender stereotypes. But what's interesting is one of the questions we're going to dive into in just a little bit here on Trending has to do with men and how they feel about their wives being breadwinners, a primary breadwinner, one of the breadwinners. What if maybe your wife makes more money than you? What if you're a stay-at-home dad? We're going to dive into the topic of insecurity in relation to this and get a little bit of the perspective of the church as well. You're listening to Trending with Timmeray here on Relevant Radio. Any question goes, I would love to hear from you. The number's 1-888-914-9149. You're joining me during our weekly Gentleman's Hour. You can also ask your question live now on Instagram. Follow me at Timmeray. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. I will be right back taking your questions. Thank you to our longtime sponsor, Solidarity HealthShare. Enroll now in Solidarity One, a new program with expanded options to fit any healthcare budget. Solidarity One offers access to prescription drugs and new discounts for seniors. Learn more about this exciting new healthcare at CatholicHealthShare.com.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmeray on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's a gentleman's hour here on Trending. Any question goes. You have a question that you want to ask your mom, your sister, perhaps even your wife. We don't want to undermine your wife, but we're here to give you a candid Catholic take. Go ahead and give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149 or share your question live now on Instagram. We'd love to take it. I was mentioning earlier a tweet that went viral. A cabinet member in Manitoba, Canada, tweeted on Saturday a tweet about his wife shoveling after a 12-hour all-night shift, and he took a photo of her. He's received a ton of backlash. It's led to an interesting conversation, but one more comment I wanted to bring up because Adam Madeira commented on Instagram. He said, sometimes it's down to the thought, I'm already here, I might as well do it. I totally get that because there are moments in our marriage where my husband will look at me and he'll just ask, why are you doing that? Or why are you doing that right now? And my response is often exactly that. I'm already here, I might as well do it. However, I don't think I'd have that attitude with shoveling. I shared earlier the conversation, very serious conversation I had to have with my husband, asking about expectations surrounding shoveling because I was assuming I would not be helping at all and had no intention, just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. I think it's fascinating to talk about this because it does get into gender stereotypes, and we're going to dive into a lot of those today on Trending. Speaking of another gender stereotype, I'll have to share with you a little bit my attitude about barbecuing. I have very strong thoughts about barbecuing, so I'll have to come back to that in just a little bit. But first, we have a ton of questions flooding in. I'll actually take first Matt's question. He was with us just a little bit ago, and he had a question he wanted to ask. He said, why won't women tell what they want for a present? for a gift idea? This is a great question. Okay, my take on why women won't tell what they want for a present. I'm assuming that you're, first of all, gentlemen, outright asking what the woman wants for Christmas, a birthday, etc. I think one of the things that I've discovered since being a mom is I have a hard time actually thinking of what I want. And by the time I think of what I want, it's either too late or after the fact. So I've realized I kind of need to just make a list, because so often I'm thinking about practical things that I need for the baby, or maybe I need for the house that I'm happy to receive, but they're not necessarily the gift I would like. But that doesn't mean I won't be happy if I receive them. I intentionally put things on my list this year that were just things for the house that I couldn't otherwise think of. However, my husband was amazing. He bought me incredible, incredible books. I don't think I've taken a photo of just some of the books he got me this year. They're really cool. I need to go take a photo of that and post it on social media because they're awesome. Anyways, I digress. I think that another reason why women don't always say what they want, at least on my part, I love to be surprised when it comes to gifts. Okay, receiving gifts is definitely one of my top love languages. Quality time is up there first, but receiving gifts, I love receiving gifts. Like if you go away on a trip and you come back, I expect that you got me a gift. And it should be, you know, a decent gift, not something rushed in the airport. Just so you know, I do love gifts. But I don't like telling people, oh, this is what I want. This is what's on my wish list. Although I do respect and appreciate that some people, and my sister said this before, she does not think that she's a good gift giver. I do think she's a good gift giver, but she always says, I'd really rather just get you something you like rather than just trying to make up something that you might not like. And I understand that as well. So I think as women, we need to be upfront. Either we can't think of something. Sometimes I'll outright say, I'd love to be surprised. Or maybe we can say, well, maybe go in this direction with ideas. Or sometimes what I'll tell my husband if I don't know what I want, here are some stores I like, or here are some online businesses I like, to help go in a direction, but still I can have a little bit of a surprise. So that's actually worked really well when I haven't wanted to outright say, hey, buy me this dress or buy me this item, but to actually have more of a surprise while saying these are the stores and the shops that I enjoy. I think this year I wanted baggy sweaters. Actually, this is one of the sweaters I got for Christmas. Love it. Someone asked what I wanted for Christmas. I'm wearing it if you're watching on Instagram Live. It's a beautiful, green's my favorite color. It's a beautiful light green cashmere sweater. Gorgeous. I absolutely love it. So, and those are some examples that I hope it helps. So maybe as a husband, you can say, do you want to be surprised? Can you tell me some stories you like in order to work your way in that direction? Okay, comment coming on by Simply Mary on Instagram on this. Should maybe some women want to see how well their boyfriend or husband know them when it comes to gifts? I actually feel this one. I want to know what my husband is going to pick out for me, what he would choose. And he even tells me now when he gets me gifts, like, okay, this one was a little risky. It's an experiment. So I got you another gift because I wasn't totally sure about this one. So, you know, there are fun things that can happen when it comes to gifts, receiving and giving. Let's see if we have more comments on Instagram. Okay, another person said that she doesn't like to share because we don't want to sound greedy to ask for too much when someone asks what we want for Christmas. That's a good point. Or for a birthday. You don't want to ask for like a $150 item when someone was only planning on spending maybe $20. I think these are all great comments. Another comment that came in having to do with shoveling. He said, absolutely, shoveling should be on the male task list. And if a woman wants to jump in, that's great. But again, it should be on male shoulders responsibility. There's lots of questions coming in on Instagram. We have a call coming from Todd in St. Louis. Todd, welcome to our Gentleman's Hour here on Trending. What's your comment?
Hey, Timmarie. I'm assuming you can hear me all right?
Yes.
All right, super. I hear you too. So thanks. I love your show, I listen to it often. So I'm about 60 years old, and the way I was raised as the only boy in a five-person family, so I had four sisters, was that generally speaking, the outdoor jobs were the men's jobs, my dad and me. So that was snow shoveling, mowing the lawn, garden, tilling the garden, you know, that kind of stuff. The indoor jobs were generally the ladies' jobs. So cooking, cleaning, laundry, etc. However, they made very sure that the girls knew how to change a tire, how yes. to shovel snow, et cetera, and that I knew how to cook and clean and sew and iron.
Oh, very good.
So it just wasn't that, there wasn't our responsibilities, but they wanted to make sure that when we were out on our own, that we weren't stuck.
I love this take, Todd. Thanks for calling and sharing that, because it's good that traditionally everything outdoors was left to the men and the father, the sons, and the indoors was left to the mother and the daughters, the sisters. I think that's a great example, but you just pointed to something very important, that even in this traditional makeup, that you as a man were still taught how to clean, how to sew, how to cook, and the girls were taught how to change a flat tire, to know, you know, how to shovel properly, where to put things. I think this is very, very wise. And, you know, I think especially as a wife, I appreciate that my husband has learned how to cook. You know, in part, I've worked with him to learn how to cook more. He also had simple things he did, but I know so many women. Their husbands, I mean, don't even know how to boil water, cook some spaghetti, make some eggs. And there are things that you should have some recipes up your sleeve that you're able to accomplish well. And, you know, knowing how to keep a house clean. I remember when I had my baby girl, immediately, I wanted to make sure that my husband knew how to do a lot of the things, such as I wanted my husband to know how to give our baby a bath, because I said, God forbid, what if something were to happen to me? I don't want to leave you with your head chopped off, running around, both A, grieving, but then B, not knowing how to take care of our baby. You should know the ins and outs. Like, I want my husband to know how to put a decent ponytail or a braid in. You know, he's willing to do that just so he knows. Yes, it's endearing. It's sweet to think about. But, you know, it's important that we know how to do things. And, you know, to my discredit, I remember my dad always wanted to show me how to put chains on the car, and I refused. I refuse, in part because we couldn't really get along for figuring out how to do it, in part because of my attitude. But, you know, I just didn't desire my mom. Like, this is a man's job. Why would I do this? If I'm stuck on the side of the road and someone has to put on or take off chains for me, I will wave them down. I will be the damsel in distress here. I have no problem doing that. I will find a way to get those chains on without having knowledge of myself. You know, this is where people wonder. Yeah, I guess the sexism can sometimes slide in both directions. But I think for me, it's confidence, knowing that I will find someone who is kind and generous enough and who has the skill to help me. And I think that that's something that we should have confidence in as a society. I should have confidence that if there's a really heavy bag and I'm short that I can't reach when I'm on an airplane, that I can either ask or someone will outright offer to grab my bag. Now when I travel often with the baby, it's just she and I, and it's a pain removing the shoes, carrying her in my arms, removing her from the stroller, with one arm taking off my shoes, taking off my jacket, with one arm putting the stroller up on the carrier. A lot of it I can do myself. A lot of the time I'm shocked that no one offers to help. And sometimes I just outright say, hey, can you help me take this down? People are glad to do it. It's kind of this attitude of understanding we have to reclaim things that might be stereotypical by just being willing to ask for help or offer help as a society. I think there's a lot to be said here. Okay, more people are passionate about this shoveling. We may keep coming back to the shoveling topic. Let's see. I want to take another question coming. I think this is a fascinating question. It's Gentleman's Hour here on Trending. Love to hear from you, 1-888-914-9149. One of the questions that came in on social media, on Instagram, Nathan asked, how should a melancholic or relaxed husband and a choleric wife go about their relationship? So if you know a little bit about the Temperaments God Gave You book, there's a quiz you can take online. It's a lot of fun. You can take the quiz and then compare it with your friends, family, spouse, significant other that you're dating. It's a lot of fun to do. You should check these out. So melancholic is a personality that is labeled as more so that perfectionist, sensitive, thoughtful, quiet, very reflective. On the other end, choleric is more so that natural leader, determined and goal-oriented. Now, melancholic is also known for taking their leadership position, but that's after if they're a little bit more of a go-getter. That is, they're thoughtful, that they tend to end up taking control of a situation, but it's a little more silent and stealthy. I'd almost say this is almost like a silent but deadly type of person in a certain respect. Although a melancholic person can have the weakness of turning into inaction by overthinking things, over criticizing themselves, and then not functioning properly, getting stuck in their own heads. choleric person, can be a go-getter, is at risk of bulldozing other people, but getting the job done. So how does this work in a marriage when the husband's melancholic and the wife is choleric? In other words, the wife is a little bit more natural-born leader, quicker to take initiative, and the husband's more thoughtful and moving through things, perhaps quieter. Well, I think at first thought, when we're looking at these male-female dynamics, it's so important that even if you are a thoughtful, methodical, quiet, sensitive, perfectionist type of person, that even in the face of that, that can't lead you to inaction. You still have to be a person of action. These qualities should all make you cooperative, thoughtful, intentional, and decisive, not brooding, indecisive, lazy, or lacking in communication. I think especially as a husband, if you are more of a melancholic, perfectionist, thoughtful, quiet type, which a lot of men do have these elements, you have to be willing to take your thoughts to action. You have to be willing to share what you're thinking, and not just, this is a big one, assume that your spouse can figure out what you're thinking or interpret the smaller number of words that you say. You see, and here's where the challenge gets into, where we're talking a lot today about male-female roles. When it comes to being melancholic, that doesn't mean that you don't take charge of your home and family. And I think sometimes people think, well, this isn't in my personality. I'm not a natural-born leader like my spouse is. There has to be this cooperation, but as the church has taught for years, a complementarity between husband and wife. That we're working with our strengths and weaknesses both on a biological, physiological level based on the sexes, but also in terms of our strengths, weaknesses, and natural tendencies. And I think for a wife who is choleric, is a little bit more of a go-getter, taking charge of things, I can understand this somewhat because I have both melancholic and choleric, a little bit more melancholic in my personality. So I'm melancholic choleric, so, and my husband's choleric melancholic. So he's more so, in a lot of, at least the test, more so that go-getter with the reflective side as well, and I'm more so the reflective side with quite a bit of go-getter as well. But for a spouse, for the wife, to be more so of that natural leader, very determined and goal-oriented, we as women have to be willing, and this is a challenge as a culture for us women, given the education system that we're raised in, the families that we come up in, we're taught to just keep go, go, go. Go to school, get the degree, get the job, you know, get married. We have to learn to let go of the reins a little bit, especially if there's anything that's happened in our family of origin that's left any wounds. It can be hard within the context of marriage to find that complementarity, to let go and leave room for your spouse to lead, but also to learn how to lead. I'll never forget a number of years ago, Matt Walsh wrote an article talking about how when he got married, he had no idea what he was doing when it came to leadership, but he talks about how he was so grateful because his wife left him the room to figure it out. That means some mistakes occurred. That means he was floundering at times trying to figure it out, but his wife showed him the necessary respect to make that happen. And I think that's a very profound, and it's a reminder for us, especially when certain personality types or family of origin experiences, and let's be real, even just the radical feminist attitude today can get in the way of really what we're called to in traditional male-female roles. You're listening to Trending with Tim Murray here on Relevant Radio during our weekly Gentleman's Hour. Love to hear from you. Any question goes, especially questions maybe you have wanted to but feel uncomfortable asking your mom, sister, or someone else, another lady in your life. Okay, another question that came in. How much, as a man, should you tell your close friends that you wouldn't tell your significant other? Be it girlfriend or spouse? Great question. I think there's a difference in terms of how we talk about our spouses or the people we're dating. So you're asking as a man, you know, how much should you be willing to tell a friend but not say to the woman you're married to or dating? I think there's a difference between asking for advice, respectfully venting, and then complaining about your significant other. And I see this so often because women tend to complain about their spouses, but so do men. My husband has a coworker right now who every time he's with him, he constantly complains about his spouse. And on and on and on, to the point where it becomes embarrassing even to hear it. Now, I can think of an example. For example, let's say that, and I'm going to give an example of a wife. Let's say a wife is constantly complaining about how her husband doesn't help do anything around the house. Well, that would be one thing to complain and complain about, your husband. It might be another thing to vent and say, oh, I'm pregnant right now. I've been really sick. I've been having a hard time keeping up with some of the housework and it's overwhelming me. I could really use some extra help from my husband. That's a little more solution oriented. It also recognizes, yeah, I need him to pitch in. And it's something you should be able to say to a friend, but also be able to say to your spouse and work through the problem. I think sometimes that's the problem. What should you be willing to say to your spouse and what should you be able to say to a friend? I don't think we should be really saying things, at least about our spouses, that we wouldn't want them to hear. And if we are saying something about our spouses that we wouldn't want our spouse to hear, I think that's a warning sign that something needs to be resolved, that we're hiding something, or maybe there's a little bit of a problem that needs to be addressed. So those are just some of my takes when it comes to a husband who maybe you're feeling like your wife is nagging you or is a complainer. I'll raise my hand. I am guilty of this at times. I think most of us women are. I kind of feel like it's bred in us today from the culture we live in, from a lot of the families that people have grown up in. You know, this naggingness that seems so normal today and is easy, especially when we're busy, to want all the help. This is part of the problem with the quote equality movement, is that it really has brainwashed us as women to think that we always have to see 50-50 on things, that we shouldn't be the only person. And it's even led us to think that we're being taken advantage of at times. And we have to have more of that servant's heart, that servant leadership, and not expect 50-50, because marriage is sometimes 110 or 150 and, you know, nothing on the other side. It's different every day. But if you are experiencing that your wife's nagging and you're complaining about it, I want to encourage you to start listening to what she's complaining about. Try and pinpoint that main complaint, maybe even ask her what that is, and take to heart working on it. Give feedback. Say, hey, my husband and I had something over this last year where I was nagging him about it, and he was becoming frustrated with my constant nagging over it. And we hit a head where I said, okay, we've got to do something about this because I'm getting mad, you're getting mad, and I don't want to be that nagging wife, and you don't want to hear it. You don't want to be frustrated about this. So what we did is we addressed what my complaint was. We addressed what his response was in response to that complaint. And basically, we made a rule. I'll stop nagging you about this for you know, a while to make sure that, you know, you have room to work on it. But I need you to work on it. This is why it matters to me. So it came to a difficult conversation after, you know, some frustrating moments for both of us throughout our days. But we can find resolution. And so I think that when that question was asked, coming back to the original question, how much should you tell your close friend that you wouldn't tell your significant other? We need to be willing to resolve conflict. Come back to a conflict when it's not a conflict to address it. You know, write things down, revisit it later. This is why that one challenge that Jim O'Day from Integrity Restored gave us a few months back, where he said at every point at the end of your day, you know, share your high point and your low point as a couple and just listen. Don't comment, don't try to solve it. I think that's a really good reminder to learn how to problem solve, how to listen, how to share. And it can even help with some of those personality type crises that people struggle with in their marriage that we were talking about earlier here on Trending. Okay, we have another call coming in having to do with snow and shoveling. Okay, we'll come back to that in just a little bit. If you have a question, number is 1-888-914-9149, or you can comment live now on my Instagram. We're live. I would love to hear from you. It's Gentleman's Hour. Any question goes, question that you wouldn't ask your mom or your sister because you don't feel comfortable, we will be happy to take it today and have a Catholic take. Today's programming is brought to you by Colby Academy. Offering a customized Catholic curriculum, Colby Academy knows the ultimate goal of education is to help our children be saints. More info at relevantradio.com/Colby.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome to Gentleman's Hour here on Trending. I'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Any question goes, although we do have some questions or comments about men needing to be castrated. That's not the direction we're going. And gentlemen, I would like to hear from you. You can comment live on Instagram or ask a question. Questions that maybe you'd want to ask your mom, your sister, perhaps even your spouse, but maybe you feel a little uncomfortable asking. We've answered questions about presence and personality types. Here is a, oh my gosh, these calls are cracking me up. Questions, fantastic questions. Keep sending them in or calling. Okay, this one, Aid Madeira on Instagram says, during communion, that is receiving our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist at Mass, do women prefer to go ahead of their significant other? Does it matter? He said, I see couples and families just go in order of seating, but I stand aside and let my wife and kids go first. Good for you, man. I agree with that. So I grew up, my dad always waited for all of us girls, my mom to go. At a certain point, he would start holding my brother back so that my brother would wait until all the girls went to communion as well. And then when we started dating, my, at the time, boyfriend, now husband, would always let me go to communion first. Now, what's funny that you say that, I think for the first time since we've maybe been dating or married, my husband went before me to communion, and it was because the baby was being a little bit of a pill and he was just trying to make it down the aisle successfully with her. That was like a rare exception. And it's so funny because I took note of it. It matters to me, these simple gestures of chivalry. The respect of letting your spouse go first. Now, being someone who's pretty short, I don't like just looking at my spouse's back because I can't see anything else around him. But if, you know, there are a couple, there's a little bit of space between me and the next person, I can see what's going on otherwise. I mean, that's just one of those reasons. It's really simple, but I think it's just a sign of respect and honor and even protection yet again, that you see where all of your family is, you know where they're at, you're taking care of them. Just like the best thing to do as a man when you go to a restaurant, where are you supposed to sit? Some people argue that you're supposed to give your wife the better view. But in reality, the argument is you're supposed to sit in the place where you can see the entrance, the exit, the safest position to protect your spouse, to protect your family. So those are a couple of perspectives. And I think that the protection side of it, especially in the culture we live in, with some of the things that have happened, I think that, you know, your husband, even if he's in the better spot, being able to see what's going on is very important so that he can protect you as a spouse. So I think that's a great question. Love to take your question. Not too late. The number is 1-888-914-9149. We've got some people listening in North County, San Diego. Shout out to AM1000 in San Diego. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a listener. Love my San Diego people here. Okay, so I was from San Diego, if you didn't know that. So here's the deal. We have a lot of questions coming in. We don't have time for all of them, but if you've got a good question, we will still take it because I'm looking for the good ones. And this one just came in. Number's 1-888-914-9149. Gentleman's Hour, anything goes. Questions that you'd like to ask your sister or your mom, but maybe don't quite feel comfortable. Okay, this one has to do with kids. How does a woman jump right into having kids when a man has fear of the pressure of providing and everything that comes with a child? I think this is a really great question. Women tend to be a little bit more eager and willing to jump into having children, at least when they're pro-life, want to have kids. And men who want to have children are maybe a little slower, want to put the brakes on it, have a little bit more fear. I think that this comes back down to our wiring. We as women are wired for nurturing. Men are wired for providing. So how do we look at it? A mother thinks about it as, I have what I need. And yes, family moons and various things can make us fearful of, you know, being a mother as well. Past experiences. But a woman is usually equipped with what she has to nurture and nourish her child. Even from her capacity to nurse, to carry her child, she has the time to bond with her child while also the baby's in utero. forming that attachment. However, men who are naturally hunter-gatherers are wired for providing. Well, men have to think about the food, the clothes, and all the other elements. Not that women don't think about this, but this is just part of the hunter-gathering dimension that men think about this more. Women also have a naturally greater propensity to trust in God. They are a little bit more inclined to religion, to receiving. So there's a little bit more of an attitude of, I will be taken care of, I trust, I'm not worried, even in situations that aren't the most ideal. And so I think that this is a natural, practical side to men where you're considering provisions. You see the pressure. I remember a year ago, one of my friends, they were expecting their third child. And the first response that her husband had was to take out a calculator and start figuring out how much this is going to cost him. You know, she was a little taken aback and a little more than slightly offended by this, but she also understood this is just the perspective men have. He was excited. Perhaps in this context, he didn't show enough of his excitement about the new baby. But what he did show was that he loves his family and wanted to make sure that everything was taken care of. In other words, he's looking, do I need to get a new job? Do we need to move to Montana? This was the perspective he had as a husband. And so I think that the weight of providing is what's at the heart of the challenge and fear surrounding being a father again or for the first time. Okay, tons of questions coming in. What else? Okay, I have to share with you my barbecuing story. So these are my thoughts on barbecuing because I know you want to know. It's gentleman's hour. Any question goes. Still love to take your questions. Social media, give me a call. Okay, so we grew up with some fantastic barbecuing. My mom's a fantastic cook, marinating, prepping, all of these things. We grew up with all kinds of food, but we did love barbecued food as well. And when I went away to college, I really missed barbecued food. And I remember, well, why don't you have barbecued food? My mom and other people would ask. I said, well, the act of barbecuing is a man's job. I'm not going to barbecue. I went through all of college. I was not going to barbecue. I think I found a guy a couple times to barbecue my food. And maybe that's one reason to date in college. Find a guy to barbecue for you. But I was not going to barbecue. Like in my mind, even to this day, it's not my job to do the barbecuing. And my mom is like an epic smoker. Like she doesn't smoke cigarettes. She smokes meats. And she is just a pro. She's gone with like people who compete in smoking to like some of these courses. And she knows how to check meat just by simply touching it and seeing, you know, the bounce back of the meat to know if it's ready or not. But it's so funny because I have this bias in my head that I cannot barbecue my own meat. That man's got to barbecue for me. So anyways, another great reason to have a husband. Gentleman's Hour here on Trending with Timmer. If you didn't catch the full episode, some great conversation. You can download the podcast or listen live daily. But the podcast is available at relevantradio.com/trending. Or you can catch it wherever you love to listen to podcasts. Okay, another great question. Oh, man, do we have an hour? This is a great question. I will take it. Okay, Diane just commented on social media. I can't barbecue either. I could probably barbecue. I won't barbecue. I refuse. I also don't want to smell like smoke. I mean, come on. Anyways, this question, probably the question of the hour, one of them. Marco asked, why is it possible to have girls who are close friends? Or he said, how is it possible to have girls who are close friends when I'm in a relationship? Can she have close guy friends? Okay, my husband hates this question. And he would very loudly tell you right now, no, men and women cannot just be friends. Okay, I need a hand raiser here. Okay, Lucas, in all capital letters, agreed. I don't know who you had to fight over for your wife, but all I know is that her male friends are no more. Okay, and vice versa. Can you have close friends of the opposite sex when you're dating or married? The more I've thought about this, I used to argue in the opposite direction, claiming it's totally doable. But I all the more so now recognize that you can't have like a best friend or a really, really close friend of the opposite sex when you're in a serious dating relationship or married. Can you still have friends of the opposite sex? I would argue yes if they're also familiar with your spouse and there's a level of familiarity and interaction. Should you be sharing private, intimate things with those people? No, maybe hanging out with them in a group setting. But I do love our former Vice President Mike Pence. He said, no, he doesn't even go out to eat with his colleagues in public unless there's another person of the same sex with him. I think there's a firm line you have to draw. And in fact, I remember when my husband and I started dating, I had a really close friend of the opposite sex. We've been friends for years. And he's actually a priest now. And we've been friends for years, but I also, at the time, he wasn't in seminary or anything. He was dating and, you know, in his professional career. And I remember that I knew that this was a friendship where the respect just wasn't going to be there. The familiarity that was present between the two of us just wasn't appropriate for being in a dating relationship. And so I didn't cut ties, but I had to let him know we can't have the same kind of friendship. If we wanted to get together, you know, my boyfriend at the time and him as well, that was a possibility. But it's clear sometimes it just doesn't mesh. Guys and girls have a hard time just being friends. Familiarity tends to build feelings. And so that's really important that we're able to make those distinctions. It's been a great gentleman's hour. Join us next week on Wednesday or catch the podcast. This is Tim Ray from Trending with Tim Ray. Thursday is our weekly marriage hour, and we'll take your questions as well as discuss how a lack of communication about contraception is causing divorce even among faithful Catholics. We'll discuss male-female roles and how not being the primary breadwinner impacts men. Join me daily at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.